This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. Most of us grin and bear it. This life we live, oh, we'd like it to be better, but we somehow survive. But there are some among us who look at life and decide that they're simply not up to the task, and they find themselves sinking into deep depression. As a matter of fact, this may occasionally happen to us life survivors as well. Our guest today has written many books, 36 to be exact, designed to help us along the road of life. He's Greg Jantz, a certified eating disorder specialist, certified chemical dependency counselor, and a nationally certified psychologist and licensed mental health counselor. He's the heart and soul of The Center, a place of hope, a unique clinic located in Edmonds, Washington. Dr. Jantz, welcome back to HeartWise.
Oh, always good to talk to you.
Now, I've got a copy of your very informative book here, Five Keys to Dealing with Depression. And I find even the title intriguing. You say dealing with depression, not vanishing it or sending it packing, dealing. Don't most depression sufferers simply want it to go away and never come back? Shouldn't that be our goal?
I think that is our goal. And, you know, the World Health Organization tells us that depression is so significant, they're ranking it as number one or number two. They're calling it a disease in the world by year 2020. Now, that's a short 3 years away. Isn't that amazing? So depression is huge, and we all know somebody who's been affected by it.
Dr. Jantz, is this something new? Did our grandparents and our great-grandparents and the people back there in the horse and buggy days, did they not get depressed?
Well, I think there probably was depression. And we've seen some early writings about depression and some of the things that they used to believe around depression. Early on in history, depression was believed to be something that was in you, like an evil spirit, and it needed to get out. And so the treatment for depression usually was some kind of a scare tactic, scare it out of you.
Yes.
So things have changed. I think in our culture, in the age that we live in, depression is more frequent. And it's got a lot of different reasons for that.
You know, in the first part of your book, Five Keys to Dealing with Depression, you have two lists. One you call the yellow list and one you call the red list. The yellow list, I guess, are those things that we have inside of us that are sort of a warning. Is that right? A warning, what's going on?
You know, it's like the yellow warning light flashing.
Yeah.
Hey, if I have these symptoms and if I don't do anything about it, they could turn into more serious symptoms.
Yeah. Now, let me just read a couple of them here, and then I want to move on to the red list. A loss of enjoyment in established activities, feeling either wound up or weighted down, anger at God for how you feel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then you move on to the red list, and I just want to spend a moment on the red list just in case someone is there because they need help right now. You say a significant change in appetite results in either marked weight loss or weight gain. Why would you lose weight and gain weight with depression?
Well, we're doing all or nothing. So we're either not eating or we're eating all the time.
Okay.
So that's one of the factors. The seriousness of depression really can put us over the edge.
And you say increased agitation or complete inability to relax. What do you consider to be relaxing?
Well, relaxing means I can't seem to stop and get any sense of peace. There's an absence of joy or even things that used to give me enjoyment. Where I used to feel good about, you know, even going out for a walk or a hike or something. It's like nothing now. Zero. Nothing gives me any sense of pleasure.
And then, of course, the very serious recurring thoughts of death or suicide or planning or attempting suicide. I've heard it said that, you know, suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Do you believe that?
Well, it's yes. I don't believe it's the solution, obviously. But I understand how people can get to that point where we're no longer thinking rationally. We're no longer able to make a good decision.
You make an interesting point there. You say we're no longer thinking rationally. If we're not thinking rationally, I guess we could not, as friends or lovers of people who are depressed, we can't come at it from a rational standpoint. Well, this doesn't make sense. Everything is going to be okay. We, from our rational point of thinking, it makes sense. But to them, how do you approach them irrationally?
Yeah. If we're depressed, and if you have a loved one that's in that darkness, you know that they're not able to make really good life-giving decisions.
Right,
so
right.
This is where we intervene, and we need to help them.
Okay. All right, let's get into those five keys. I think we'll be able to touch on each one of them before the program is up today. The first number key you say in dealing with depression is emotional balance. Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, we've got to figure out what represents balance. If depression is all or nothing thinking, mm-hmm. you know, I'm either really good or I'm really bad, or and it's just that all or nothing. I'm either eating all the time or sleeping all the time, or I'm not at all. So balance means, what are those things in life that I can regain my footing? Do I need to deal with some past emotional pain? Is there unforgiveness in my life? Do I have an abundance of anger or hurt? Or have I been riddled with fear and anxiety? So what are those things in my life that are preventing me to have any sense of emotional balance?
Hmm. It sounds like what I hear you saying is that feeling bad or guilty is not the problem. Letting the bad and the guilt overtake your life is the problem. Am I on the right track?
Yes, and that's what happens. It's subtle and it's sneaky, but it's like we have all those yellow symptoms flashing,
right.
Pretty soon, before we know it, we're in a very dark place.
When you're in this dark place, and I'm sure all of us have been there, because you make it very clear that, you know, we occasionally dip our toe in that pond. We look at life and say, oh, we're having problems here. This is not working. But somehow we can motor out of it. If you are thinking this way and you have an emotional balance need, what's the first step that you recommend that you do to try to bring that balance back in? How do you lift yourself up by your own bootstraps?
You may need to ask for help.
Mm.
And by that, what I mean is, this is too big for me. I don't know what to do. I may need to get some professional intervention. I may need to get a sense of somebody that can help me with a plan. I may need accountability. I may need to have some testing done. Do I have a chemical issue going on?
Hmm.
What's all creating this depression for me?
The second key you mention in your book is intellectual integrity. Have you been on Facebook recently? That seems to be in short supply.
What am I doing to grow? What am I doing in my life that stimulates me in a positive way? Am I indeed diving into social media so deep? And we know that the more I spend in social media, the more it actually increases my depression instead of help me.
Really? Okay.
So, you know, what am I doing to keep myself growing? And if I'm depressed, I probably feel like I'm not growing.
Let's talk about social media just for a minute here. This is an interesting point. What can we do to protect ourselves other than signing off? And maybe that's what you're saying. What can we do to protect ourselves on social media from letting it depress us?
Well, you know, I think we've got to limit our time and what we're doing as well. You probably noticed that, you know, everybody, you do a lot of comparing on social media.
Yes.
Everybody, you know, presents their best photo, and if it's not their best, they'll retouch it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a different world. And if we're looking for affirmation or if we're looking for value through social media, that's looking to the wrong place.
Because what you're saying is the people who are interacting with you don't know the real you. They know the you that you've put up there. And so their reaction to you is based on a manufactured you?
Yep, exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. All right. Five steps to dealing with depression. Step number three is relational support. What do we need to know about relational support, and where can we find it?
Well, this is a big one. Oftentimes, I may feel like if I'm depressed, I just want to isolate. I don't want to be with anybody.
Mm.
Or if I'm maybe feel like I've burned a lot of bridges in relationships. And so we've created a problem where I feel like nobody understands, or I feel like I don't have that support. So this is one that's a tricky one and such an important one.
But you're saying it is possible. We can back out of relational non-support, I guess you're saying.
Well, this is where professional intervention may be important.
Okay.
This is where I may need to evaluate my relationships. I may need to find a support group to be a part of. Something in my relationships may need to change.
Now, Dr. Janis, you're a counselor and you're a psychologist. What do you know that I don't know or that my listener doesn't know? What do you bring to the table that we somehow missed in our decades of living?
Well, as a counselor, it's support and an understanding of where you need to progress. A person that is staying stuck in depression is going to maybe live with a lot of regret. And so the accountability, also to know where to look. If you look at depression as like a big 1,000-piece puzzle, mm-hmm. I think a good counselor, a good expert can help me find the missing pieces to that puzzle. Maybe there's just a few and I need a little more help.
I can certainly understand that, because even in talking with non-professionals or with a friend or a family member or a pastor, they may say something that triggers something in the mind and you, oh yeah, I didn't think about that. You are trained to look for those things. Am I right?
Yep. Correct.
Okay. All right. Very good. We're talking with Dr. Greg Janis. He is the author of Five Keys to Dealing with Depression. He's also the driving force behind a place called The Center, A Place of Hope. And you can learn more about that from www.aplaceofhope.com. We'll take a short break. And when we come back, a couple more keys here, very important, and some more questions for our guest today, Dr. Greg Janis. So everybody stay right where you are.
I'm Dr. James Markham with your Biblical Prescription for Life. A patient recently asked me about natural ways to help his heart. Well, I referred him to Daniel 1 verses 12, where it says, "Please test your servants for 10 days and let us give them vegetables to eat and water to drink." Well, vegetables in that setting was that which is sown. The word is called zeroim. Well, you know the rest of the story. These fellows were 10 times smarter than the king's men. Esselstyn in the Journal of American Family Practice in 2015 did a study that showed that people that eat greens and plant-based nutritions have healthier hearts, less cardiovascular events. So our biblical prescription for life today is Zeroim, Z-E-R-O-I-M, eat that which is sown. For more information, visit our website. That's heartwiseministries.org.
Before we get back to our guest, I want to invite you to interact with Heartwise Ministries. Perhaps you have a question or comment to share. Is there a topic you'd like for us to discuss on this program? Have we helped you in some way with the information or resources we've made available to you each week? If you're a computer person, you're in luck. You can visit the heartwiseministries.org website and leave a message in the contact section. Or you can click on over to Facebook and join our family by liking Heartwise Ministries. Here you can enter your thoughts and suggestions, enjoy Dr. Markham's latest video blogs, and learn more about the many activities of this global outreach. A lot of exciting things happening at Heartwise. Of course, you can call us as well. Here's our phone number for non-medical queries and comments, 423-238 0048. That's 423-238-0048. We're here to serve you. Please feel free to use any of these avenues to communicate with us. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Our guest today, Dr. Gregory Janis. He is the author of Five Keys to Dealing with Depression. He's the author of 36 books, to be exact. This man knows what he's talking about. We've had him on the show several times before, and I'm always impressed by his deep understanding of the human psyche. And his books also reflect that. Aplaceofhope.com is a site where you can go and learn more about Dr. Janis and his center and his books. It's all right there at aplaceofhope.com. We're going through the five keys to dealing with depression. We've talked about emotional balance, intellectual integrity, and relational support. now physical healing. Are you telling us, Dr. Jantz, that it's possible that our depression is brought about by a physical ailment in our bodies?
Well, isn't that interesting? We could have a nutrient deficiency. We may have chemical imbalances. There could be things going on that really we're not understanding what's happening. And it really can be clearly a chemical or physical issue. I may have some, maybe it's even some food allergies. I may have something that really, really contributing to this that I need to look at.
That actually is a very hopeful statement, because we think we're going crazy. Like you say in the very beginning of your book, you talk about Sarah. I'm sure Sarah represents a lot of people. Sarah thought, there's something wrong with me. And so she came to you and you showed her what was wrong with her, but it wasn't her. It was some things about her or things around her that were the problem. That could be our problem too, am I right?
Oh, sure. And let's look at it this way. There's always a missing link in depression, always. And so we need to look at those missing pieces. And a lot of times they can be physical. Maybe it's a nutrient deficiency. Maybe there's something going on that's never been looked at.
You've said before on this program that mental illness and depression is on the rise here and around the world. Are you making a connection with something in particular that we're eating or drinking or something in our environment that's triggering this in such a large and global scale?
No, there could be many different reasons for this. I think we do live in a world that, if you will, there's more issues. There's the internet has in some ways complicated things,
yes.
But there's certainly more issues for us that could be contributing. Pornography, a lot of things that could be adding to the complexity of depression.
You know, I'm reminded of that Eagles song where they say everything all the time. That seems to be what we have in our lives, everything all the time. And that may not be good for us. Am I on the right track?
Well, yeah, that may not be good for us, is right.
Okay, all right. Now, spiritual support. This is the fifth key in your book, Five Keys to Dealing with Depression. Spiritual support. Where do we find that? Is that going to church each week?
Spiritual support really is, I've got to be willing to allow my faith to develop. I may feel like God has deserted me. I may feel like there is no answers. I may feel like God doesn't love me. I may feel like there's not a God. That's okay. I want you to be willing to take a look at issues of faith in your life, because it can really be, when we ask people, what kept you going over the long run? And generally speaking, they'll say, you know, my faith kept me going.
You mentioned a very powerful statement. You say that God has a purpose in your life. Let me ask you a personal question. What was God's purpose in your life, and how did you recognize it?
A lot of times our purpose gets affirmed by others. It's those natural gifts and talents, and sometimes we look back in our life and really how God has connected the different dots and has led us in certain directions. We'll see a lot of people's early calling, even how they played and their early interest and even childhood. But here's the great thing. If you don't know a plan or purpose for your life, the way God works is it's never too late. And it can be revealed, and it will be. So we've got to allow for that.
I like the fact that you say just look around at your life. What are you able to do? What are your interests? What are your talents? God can use, you know, the loaves and fishes. God can use the simplest talent to do some pretty amazing things. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely.
As a therapist, you talk to people on a daily basis. You write about these things. This is not something you just came up with. This is something that has been taught to you through your interaction with people and your interaction with yourself and your own life. What advice do you have for someone who is struggling right now, listening to this radio program, turning up the volume because I need help, this person is saying, I need to know. And of course, we want them to buy the book, Five Keys to Dealing with Depression. But right now, starting today, what advice would you give to someone who is struggling to find hope or meaning in his or her life?
I want you to continue to gather information. Today's a day of decision. And it could be even going online. I've got a nice free questionnaire will give you some feedback that you can take. But I want you to take some steps every day. Every day, take some baby steps.
Let's identify just a couple of those, because someone wants to take those baby steps right today before they get your book. What would be the first baby step? And I understand baby steps. What's the first baby step?
Yeah, well, one would be go to aplaceofhope.com, aplaceofhope.com, take my depression survey.
Okay.
And it's going to email you back some brief score and feedback, and you go, okay, so I've gathered more information. Now I need to take the next step. Is the next step, maybe it's reading something, but I'm going to do a next step. Can I keep asking myself, Lord God, I pray for wisdom. Show me what I need to know. Show me the next step.
I like that. It is a positive, active thing to do, going to aplaceofhope.com and getting that questionnaire, filling it out. That's a very positive thing. What should we not do today? What should we absolutely not do today in our fight against depression?
Isolate, not talk to anybody, and just isolate, or number two, escapism behaviors, where I do nothing but escape, and that means I do unhealthy things. So escapism is a way of coping, but it doesn't get me what I want.
All right. Very good. Let me go over those five keys again. Emotional balance, intellectual integrity, relational support, physical healing, spiritual support. This is a very positive book, listener. I think if you were to get a hold of this and read it, you would discover that there is hope for us all, and there are things that we can be doing starting today, as you mentioned here, and that's very important. And there are things that we need to stop doing, and that's just as important too. I like that. Dr. Jance, in just the minute or so we have left on the program, would you do something? I've had you do this before, and I love for you to do this. Would you pray for those people listening to the program right now who are saying, I'm not worth anything? They're like Sarah in your book. I'm not worth anything. There's something wrong with me. I need help. What kind of prayer would you like to offer on that person's behalf right now?
Lord God, there are those who are suffering who do not feel hope. And hope seems to be gone, and it's despair. And Lord, we know that you are the God of hope and peace in our lives. And I ask that your spirit would touch whoever that is today. Give them the wisdom to take and the strength to take a next step as we want to journey towards wholeness. We ask for your help to do that in the peace and comfort of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Dr. Jance, Greg Jance, thank you so much. The author of 5 Keys to Dealing with Depression and 35 other books, and all of them are available for you to check out at www.aplaceofhope.com. There is no reason for any of us to not know what to do here. There is all kinds of help available, and Dr. Jance has made sure it's available to all of us. That's aplaceofhope.com. Dr. Jance, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate your words of wisdom.
You got it. Good to be with you today.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Gregory Jance inviting you to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.